excellent. Yes, it's not a particularly long chapter, but there is a lot in it. So I'm going to concentrate particularly on the first 17 verses. But before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, please give us attentive ears and quiet hearts. Help us to listen well and to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you a story. It's a made-up story, but listen carefully because it contains all the important bits of today's sermon. Red and orange lanterns glow in the night in a seaside village. A young family has brought some fruit. They're enjoying sitting under the red and orange lanterns, listening to the waves splash onto the rocks at the beach. The kids ask, "Can we go play in the water?" But the parents say, "No, just remain here for a while, please." The kids obey. They stay. They ask if they can have some more fruit. The parents dutifully cut up more fruit for them to share. Two others are walking by, and one says to the other, "What a loving family." Well, red and orange lanterns. That's my way of helping you to remember the four key things in today's passage. Remain, ask, obey, love. Four things. Remain, ask, obey, love. R-A-O-L. Red and orange lanterns. That's the answer, I think, to the big question of the passage. Remain, ask, obey, love. If that's the answer, what's the question? Well, the question is, how do I bear fruit? How can I be a fruitful Christian? Well, the answer is there are four ways to be fruitful. Remain, ask, obey, love. That's how you bear fruit. The first way is to remain. Let's read Jesus' words together. Verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus warns us that if we bear no fruit, we will be cut off. So bearing fruit is a big deal. How do you bear fruit? Remain. Jesus says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Now you've got to imagine that God has a really big garden. It's a very big garden, but it only has one plant in it. It's a vine. But it's a really big vine, with a trunk as thick as a tree, and millions of branches coming off it. Now, off all the branches hang all kinds of fruit. Red and green and purple and orange. Big like a watermelon, small like a blueberry. Of all kinds. Some of the branches have a really solid connection with the trunk. Those branches are heavy with fruit. Some of the branches look like they're almost about to fall off the trunk. And those branches have almost no fruit. And they're looking a bit malnourished. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Love is the fruit of all different kinds. And we'll talk about what love looks like in the last section of the talk today. If Jesus is the vine, how do you bear fruit? The answer is, remain in him. What does a branch have to do? Does it bear fruit because of its cleverness? Does it bear fruit because it works hard? Does it bear fruit because it has any power on its own? No. A branch bears fruit for one reason only, because it's connected to the source of nourishment. If it remains connected, it can't help bearing fruit. But if it does not remain connected, then it is like a cut flower. It might look good in a vase for a little while, but within 2 weeks it's dead. Remain, therefore, in Jesus, He is the source of nourishment and life. Now, if this is true, this is what it cannot mean. It cannot mean that you will find fruit in the pursuit of anything other than Jesus. You will not bear fruit simply because of success in your job, your house, your family, or yourself. You will bear fruit because you remain in Jesus. It cannot mean that you ought to dabble in lots of different philosophies and pick and choose what you like. Jesus will not tolerate you taking the Ten Commandments and also a handful of Buddhist sayings and a bit of Hindu meditation and some Zoroastrian prayers all together. As far as Jesus is concerned, you can join yourself to him and you will bear fruit. But joining anything else is not a way of bearing fruit. But if Jesus' words are true, then this is what they must mean. It must mean that bearing fruit will not be easy. For the way to make a branch bear more fruit is to prune it. And so the Father will prune whatever part of us is necessary to make us bear more fruit. And that will be painful. Jesus never promises that life will be all easy. What he promises is that when things are bad, he is there with us. He carries our burdens. And perhaps that means that if you are experiencing a tough spot in life, maybe you're having difficulty in your marriage or with your children, or maybe you are experiencing a chronic illness, maybe your question is, where is God in this situation? But maybe a better question to ask is, how does God want me to bear fruit in this situation? Because to remain in Jesus means to trust that God has put you in a place where you can bear fruit. So how do you bear fruit? Remain, ask, obey, love. The first way to bear fruit is to remain. The second way is to ask. This is how Jesus continues. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What is your prayer life like? Do you ask God for the things that you want? Well, I know I would like to be a better prayer. So I need to hear Jesus' invitation to pray, to ask. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask. Even evil people know how to do good to their children. How much more God, who is your heavenly Father? God is a good God. He is generous, not stingy. He is gracious, not vindictive. Now, when Steph and I were engaged, my mum and dad not only gave us half of our wedding budget, they also paid for us to go to Hong Kong with them to see my extended family and to do some sightseeing. They were extraordinarily generous to us in a way that we didn't and we don't deserve. My mum and dad aren't Christians. They're not probably even close to being Christian, but even non-Christians know how to do good for their children. Well, how much more our Heavenly Father? Do you know what a kleptomaniac is? A kleptomaniac is someone who has a compulsive impulse to pinch things, to steal things. Not necessarily for profit or because of poverty, just an irrational need to steal. Well, imagine if Steph comes home with a bottle of wine, and she says, "Don't tell anybody, but I snuck this out of the shop." And then I say to her, "Honey, we have the money to buy wine. We don't need to steal it." Or suppose I come home from work, and I say to Steph, "I got us a stack of pens. Don't tell anybody, they're from the office. Oh, I got us some nice bickies too." And Steph says, "You don't have to do that anymore, love. We're not so short of money that we have to steal pens and biscuits. Next time, just ask. I'll get some from the shop." To not ask God for the things that you want is to be like a kleptomaniac, pinching things for yourself when you could have simply asked for them from your Father in heaven, and He would have given them to you. He wants to answer your prayers, so ask Him. Now, there are two problems that we have with prayer, I think. The first one is that we don't really think that God will answer our prayers. We don't think our prayers will make any difference. Maybe we think God acts the same whether we pray or not, so there's no point praying. Or maybe we doubt that God has things under His control, so there's no point praying. Well, the answer to the first problem is that Jesus is reassuring His disciples. In John 15, here, He's just hours away from being arrested, abandoned, brutalized, and crucified. He'll spend some time with His disciples after His resurrection, but then He will go away for a very long time. When the disciples were with Jesus, they could ask Him whatever they would ask a friend. "Hey Jesus, what's the time? Hey Jesus, what are we doing next? Hey Jesus, what are we having for lunch?" And Jesus says, "Even when I'm away from you, I'm still with you. You can still ask me anything. I still want to answer you. So ask whatever you want." But the second problem we have with prayer is that we ask for the wrong reasons. We ask for things we want in a selfish way. We demand that God must answer us in exactly the way that we want, or He hasn't answered us at all. We require God to be obedient to our will, because after all, isn't that the most logical conclusion from reading what Jesus says? Well, the answer to the second problem is to pray like Jesus prays. Because Jesus knows that He can tell the Father what He wants. "Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me." And yet, because He knows that God is God, He allows God to answer in the way that is best and necessary. "Yet not my will, but your will." Here in chapter 15, Jesus tells His disciples to ask, because it's to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So I take it that if you want to bear fruit as a Christian, what you ought to do is ask the Father to help you to bear fruit. Ask for all the different aspects of your character to reflect God in love. Ask God to make you more knowledgeable. Ask God to make your heart like His. Ask God to make you more outward focused. Ask God to make you more servant-hearted. Ask God to make you concerned for people's spiritual well-being. And ask God for wisdom in knowing how to act. And look for the way that God is answering your prayers. Well, for me, that means that I've written a series of prayer cards for various aspects of my spiritual fruitfulness that I need to grow in. For generosity, for courage, for humility, for contentment, and so on. I actually write out a full prayer from "Dear God" to "Amen." And that means I can still pray when I'm too tired or distracted to come up with the right words, because I've already written them down. And then when I pray through a different one each time until I've gone through all of them, and then I start again. And I love that I know that God wants these things for me, so I can be on lookout for how He is giving me the opportunity to grow and to bear fruit. How do you bear fruit? Remain, ask, obey, love. Four ways to bear fruit. The first one was remain. The second one, ask. The third way is to obey. Jesus continues, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Jesus is very clear. If you want to be with God the Father, then you must bear fruit. If you want to bear fruit, then you must remain in the vine. If you want to remain in the vine, then obey Jesus' command. Now, rules are not necessary evils. Rules are good. At my last church, I used to lead Splash, which was our Friday evening kids club for kids in years 3 to 6. And we would go through the rules every week, and this is what I would say to the kids. Splash isn't about rules. Splash is about having fun, making friends, and learning about Jesus. Now, if we don't have fun, that's no good. If we don't make friends, that's no good. And if we don't learn about Jesus, that's no good. So that's why we have rules. So that we can have fun, make friends, and learn about Jesus. And then I would say, here are our rules. Number one, the leaders are in charge. Number two, be safe. Number three, be kind. And then I'd go and explain what those things mean. Jesus doesn't command us like a careless boss who doesn't understand what his employees do. He commands us like a loving friend who understands us and knows what is best for us. He doesn't command for us just to listen and then ignore what he says. He says, I'm telling you this because I want to rejoice in you. I'm telling you this because I want you to be joyful. Because following Jesus' commands as a willing disciple is joyful. Don't do it because you have to. Don't do it because you feel you are forced to. Do it because you want to. Because being a disciple is joyful. Because you love knowing that Jesus rejoices in you. Because you want to bear fruit. How do you bear fruit? Remain, ask, obey, love. And so finally we come to the fourth way of bearing fruit. Love. Let's pick up the reading from verse 12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. To bear fruit is to remain, and to remain is to be able to ask and obey. To obey is to love. Love each other. Well, let's talk about some ways that we can't love each other. You can't love another person if you are grumbling about them and never actually talking to them. If you do lots of complaining and never asking and listening. You can't love another person if you are holding a grudge against them. If you keep an account of their offenses. You can't love someone when you are secretly trying to sabotage their work. You can't love them when you're trying to teach them a lesson by being as uncooperative as possible. You can't love another person if you're only loving them to get something from them. The Bible says you must love one another. You've got to do it. And that means you've got to do it even if you're married to the other person. You've got to love one another even if you're related to the other person. Now, I find that it is with those closest to us that it's easiest for love to become, to change from something that we give freely to something that we only give if we get in return. It's so easy to think, I've put so much into this relationship, now it's time for me to get something back. It's so easy for that to go a step further, for me to say, or for her to say, I've done enough for him to say, I've done enough for her. If they don't step up their game, I don't see any reason why I should keep going on my side. When you think that way, you've turned love into a transaction. You're only loving them to get something out of them. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. The kind of love that Jesus talks about is costly love. See, loving a person may or may not cost money, but it will cost time. And it will cause you pain. Because if you persist long enough, that's always what happens. C.S. Lewis says that to love anything at all is to be vulnerable. Because to truly love anything or anybody is to invest yourself in them, to make yourself open to the possibility of having your heart broken. And so Jesus says to love God first and also to love your neighbor. Because if he had said only to love your neighbor, then you would be continually heartbroken, because no neighbor will be able to love you perfectly. But if you love God first, he will not fail you. And so you'll have the ability to love your neighbor. And so Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. I've loved you, he says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And I have loved you in the greatest way, because there is no greater way to love than to lay down your life for your friends. That's what Jesus came to do. He laid down his life for us. Remember that, because that's the truth that will allow you to bear fruit in love. Jesus laid down his life for you. You cannot do anything to make him love you more. And you cannot do anything to make him love you less. That's the gospel of grace. That's what you need to remember every day. That's the antidote to loving someone just to get something back from them. Tell yourself the gospel. Jesus died for you. You cannot make him love you more. You cannot make him love you less. And let that drive every interaction you have at home and at work and at the school gate and at the shops. You love because you are loved. And then you'll find that you are bearing fruit. The key to becoming more loving is to keep telling yourself the gospel. That's why it's so good to commit to the ordinary things of the Christian life. Reading your Bible, praying, going to church. Because when you read the Bible, you're reading about the God of love and justice who loves you and gave himself for you. When you pray, you put into practice and into words the faith that God loves you and he gave himself for you. And when you go to church, when you go to Bible study, when you participate in Christian fellowship, you have the opportunity to encourage others and to be encouraged by others that God loves you and he gave himself for you. Remind yourself of the gospel every day. That's how you will love others. That's how you will obey Jesus. That's how you will be confident to humbly ask whatever you want of God. That's how you'll remain in Jesus. How do you bear fruit? Remain, ask, obey, love. Red and orange lanterns. Remain, ask, obey, love. At the heart of it all is trusting in God's goodness. When you remain connected to Jesus, you ask him honestly for the things that you want without demanding them. When you know that Jesus is good, you can obey him joyfully. And when you tell yourself the gospel that Jesus died for you, that you cannot make him love you more and you cannot make him love you less, you give yourself the fuel you need to love others as he has loved you. How do you bear fruit? Remain, ask, obey, love. Do you think you could remember that this week? Let's pray. Loving Father, you've loved us with an infinite love. There is no greater love than for one to lay down his life for his friends. And yet Jesus died for us while we were still enemies. Give us fresh ears, Lord, to hear the gospel every day. By your grace, let us remain in Jesus. Give us confidence to ask whatever we wish while humbly submitting to your will. Make us joyful to obey Jesus' commands. and grant that we may love as you love, with costly, heartbreaking, persistent love, all flowing out of Jesus' death for us. In his gracious and joyful name. Amen. I have the SMS device, so if you would like to text in a question, that is quite all right. Otherwise, I'm happy to take some questions as well. That's a good question, because that can be quite ambiguous sometimes when we use the word. I think in this passage, what we should think is the fruit is love. Jesus says, God wants you to obey fruit, to bear fruit. And what's the one thing that comes out in the passage that is very clear that you must do? Well, it's to love each other. So I think that's where how we should interpret it. In this passage, when Jesus says you ought to bear fruit, what he's saying is you ought to love each other. Yeah, like that's a real problem, because it's actually really sad when you have lots of Christians who walk around just thinking Christianity is really sad, like it's really hard and like painful all the time, and I don't really want to be a Christian, but I'm kind of forced to because that's, you know, what Jesus says I have to do. Jesus isn't like that. He's not a hard master. But the answer, I think, is to tell yourself the gospel. The reason why you'll be joyful in following Jesus is because you know that he loves you and he died for you. He gave himself for you. And that might not happen immediately. It might not happen overnight. But as you keep telling yourself the gospel, I think that is the key to finding joy again in obeying him. There is probably going to be a time when you just have to say, well, this, you know, I don't really feel like following, but I know this is the right thing, and that's like that. I think that there's an appropriateness to just pushing through, just saying I'm going to keep going to church even though I don't feel like I'm not getting a lot out of it. I'm going to keep praying even though I don't really feel like God's answering it right now. But as you tell yourself the gospel and remind yourself that God is good and that Jesus died for you and he gave himself for you, and you cannot make him love you more and he cannot make him love you less, then I think that is where you find your source of joy. Well, feel free to ask me questions at morning tea as well.